Hell Yes Life, episode 43. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a hell yes life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. I am your host, Norman Bell. I hope you are doing great today. This is the place to hear inspiring stories and actionable tips from our amazing guests that will motivate you to live your Hell Yes Life. The Hell Yes Life podcast releases new episodes every Tuesday. Hell Yes Lifers, if you want to write a review, please visit hellyeslife.com/HYLiTunes. Also, if you've been listening to the Hell Yes Life podcast and you're getting inspired by our guests and you're starting to think, hey, I want to live my Hell Yes Life, then I've got good news for you. Right now on hellyeslife.com, you can sign up for a free 5-part video mini course that will walk you through the 5 steps to a Hell Yes Life. This course will help you find your Hell Yes, create your cringeworthy vision, build your Hell Yes Day, plan your first Hell Yes action, and more. If you're ready to jumpstart your Hell Yes Life, then head over to hellyeslife.com right now. Okay, let's get into today's episode. Today, my guest is Tim Rode. Tim is the founder of One Life Fully Lived. Now, Tim has an amazing story to share. He was 24 years old, working as a grocery store clerk and painting addresses on people's curbs so he could afford diapers for his kids. He eventually found his passion in real estate and experienced phenomenal success. He worked hard, managed his finances, spent less than he earned, and learned how to invest. He kept moving forward and created an amazing life for himself and his family. He has created One Life Fully Lived to change the lives of millions of people across the planet by offering a hand up instead of a hand out. Tim's efforts have been resonating with so many people and spreading like wildfire as they spread the message of empowerment and build more leaders. Now, in our conversation, Tim and I talked about the importance of failing forward and hustling. We talked about Tim's success in real estate that allowed him to declare himself financially free by the time he was in his 40s. Very importantly, we talked about the financial ABCs and what you need to think about if you want to start moving towards your financial freedom. We also talked about Tim's current organization, One Life Fully Lived, which is up to all kinds of amazing things, including a conference that's coming up in October. So stay tuned for more information about that. Without further ado, let's get into my conversation with Tim Rode. Tim Rode, welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast. Are you ready to tell us about your Hell Yes Life?
Oh, hell yes.
All right, Tim. So glad you could join us. Really looking forward to hearing about your story and everything that you've got going on. I always like to start off by asking the question, what is your hell yes? And by that, I mean, what is that thing that really lights you up and makes you come alive?
Well, Norman, I think I live a really blessed life. I live up in the boonies. I do a lot of what I call getting the goods in the woods and just spending a lot of time in nature and balance between running our nonprofit, investing wisely, taking care of my family, and getting the goods. That's my hell yes life.
Love it. Getting the goods in the woods. That sounds great. Getting out there in nature and, you know, just being of service. When do you have an idea of when you first realized that this, what kind of all the stuff that you're that we're going to be talking about here was your hell yes? That, you know, maybe you have no pressure here if you can't remember. Oh, yeah, I was 5 years old and I was on the playground sort of a experience. But does anything come to mind like when you realized that, yeah, this is what I want to do?
Yeah, I'd say you were pretty close. I was probably 7 or 8 years old sitting on a old school bus, having just skied, and my fingers are frostbitten, my toes are frostbitten, and I'm sitting on that bus with a probably Rolling Stones, Get Off My Cloud, or, you know, just some rock song blasting in my head going, hell yes, this is the life for me.
Okay, so I wasn't far off then. So about 7 or 8 years old. That's great. That's great. Well, Tim, why don't you give us a little bit of an overview of, you know, I've, you know, looked at your website and looked a little bit at your story. But yeah, give us an overview. What are you up to now? You've got a lot of different programs and projects. Yeah, tell us your story.
Well, mainly where I am today is I spend my time with our nonprofit One Life Fully Lived, helping people dream, plan, and create their best life possible. The way I put it is, I've seen Oz. I'm living my One Life Fully Lived, and we want to take others with us. And that's what One Life Fully Lived is all about. Got another project called GoBundance that is all of this at a mastery level. GoBundance is healthy, wealthy, generous men who choose to lead epic lives. And that's where I am right now. I've come from a rough background, barely graduated high school, never went to college. At 25, I was painting addresses on people's curbs to buy diapers for my then small kids. I was able to retire financially free by 40. And now that's what we like to do, is help others. It's kind of like I got mine and I want to help others get theirs.
That's great, Tim. That's great. Great summary there of, you know, your background and everything you've got going on now. I think my listeners will be familiar with me saying this. I always like to take back people up a little bit so we can dive into, you know, different parts of your story. So take us back to that. You said at the age of 24, you were working as a grocery store clerk. So tell us about that time in your life, you know, so you know, it sounds like you had some struggles there early on. How did you deal with those struggles, and what helped you move forward?
I think that's a really good way to describe it. Struggles. I didn't really work hard in high school. I was the kid in the back of your class throwing spit wads at you, or looking at the pictures, or looking out the window at the mountains, imagining myself I was anywhere but listening to that teacher teach me the periodic tables and crap like that that I knew I wasn't going to need in life. So consequently, I got off to a late start, and those were struggle years. I'm working all night, throwing freight as a grocery clerk, studying for my real estate license, have two small kids. Literally, I'd go door to door selling for my buddy to come behind me and do the stencil work to paint your address on your curb for $7 a pop. And that's how I bought diapers and formula for my then small kids. Then I was fortunate enough to find my niche selling real estate. I was a salesman that had a product, and I focused in on the things that matter. A, how do I increase my income? B, how do I monitor what's coming in every month and what's going out? And C, learned all I could about investing. And my choice was real estate because it's what I knew. So I spent all my time on, most of my time, because I had a family, but most of my time on learning my trade, learning how to invest, watching what's coming in, what's going out, what's left to invest. And we built a fortune over 15 years, Norman.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Again, going to back you up here a little bit, Tim. So there you are. You're working as a grocery store clerk. You're going door to door, you know, so you can afford those diapers. What made you turn towards real estate? What was that? What was the attraction there?
My mom sold real estate. I had been putting flyers out for her for some time. I always loved the game of Monopoly when I was a kid. I always liked to play Monopoly. I always looked at, like, new buildings being built, and just always had a fascination with real estate. So it was a natural fit. I'd actually bought a house or a mobile home that I turned into a rental, and a single family house that I was living in before I started selling real estate. So I already had a little bit of a background in it. And then everybody who came through my grocery line the last year I was in the grocery business, I'd talk real estate with them. And I started referring deals to a friend. A guy wanted to buy a house. Another guy wanted to sell a house. And I figured out I referred like 11 deals the last year I was in the grocery business before I got into real estate. So I kind of tiptoed my way into it. And then once I got started, it was, I just never looked back.
And when you were, and I'm thinking of the people who might be out there listening to this, that who knows, maybe they're grocery store clerks or they're in some job that they're not passionate about and they don't know their way forward. But when you were in that position there and you were starting to move towards real estate, what was your mindset like? Were you already thinking big, like I'm going to blow it out of the water in real estate? Or were you just kind of, you know, making your way forward in the dark a little bit? You weren't quite sure what you were doing, but you just move forward anyway.
Great questions. Way closer to B than A. I failed forward at first. And anybody looking, if you're in a soul sucking job like I was, then you want to move. Here's the formula. It's like juggling. You've got to juggle the balls you're already juggling. You have that job you're doing. You have your family. You have your finances. You have your balanced life you're trying to live. You got to do extra. And if you think of what I was saying, I was painting addresses on people's curbs. I was getting my real estate license on the side. And then I was referring deals. And when I'd refer those deals, I went with the agent to see what he did. How did he show property? How did he list a home? So you got to do extra. And to answer your specific question, no, I didn't have big hopes and dreams until my first year in the business. I realized if I wanted to be exceptional, I couldn't compare to myself to people local. I had to get out and see what the best of the best were doing. So I went to a seminar called Mike Ferry. And I went to this Mike Ferry seminar. And at the time, my first year in real estate in Manteca, I was the number three agent in town, I think. And I thought I was hot stuff because I started so quick. And I go to this conference and the guy next to me is making like $500,000 a year, and the lady next to me selling like 80 homes a year, and I think I'd sold 20 homes, which isn't bad for your first year. So I quickly realized, boy, you're in the right place, Tim. Sit down, shut up, ask a lot of questions, and open your mind to learn. And that was the first time I realized, holy moly, this could be incredible.
A lot of good stuff in what you just said there. First off, about the juggling, right? So you've got all this stuff on your plate right now, but you've got to do a little extra. I think there's a popular term right now about hustling, right? You got to hustle. If you want to add that extra thing that's going to bring in the extra income or move you forward, you got to make that time to do it, right? You got to somehow juggle it, juggle that extra ball. And then also interesting that once you were, you put yourself in this space where you could see other people up-leveling their lives, or living at a different level, that's when things started to open up for you. I've certainly noticed that myself, that just being, even through this podcast, just being exposed to people like yourself and many other people who have done amazing things is starting to get me thinking about, wow, what could I do? So that's great. So then what happens?
So by the way, what we're talking about is if you always do what you always did, you'll always get what you always got. And if you want more in life, you gotta push it. You gotta force the issue. You gotta make things happen. So then what happened is I just kept implementing. First of all, I loved working with buyers selling real estate, but I found it to be very inefficient. Once I'd show you the home, you'd want to see it again. Then you wanted to show your mom. Then you wanted to measure the rooms. Then you wanted to show your Aunt Tilly from Topeka. And it was just very inefficient. But I found if I listed homes for sale and I listed them right and I priced them right and I staged them and I worked with the sellers to get everything right, I could list, five homes every week, take every weekend off with my kids, and then just live this balanced life. I could also set my own schedule. I could coach Little League. I could never miss a parent-teacher conference. I could be there mentally and physically with my family if I was just focused on prospecting, listing, watching what's coming in, what's going out, what's left to invest, training my staff as I grew, and then investing wisely so I got somewhere. Those were the things that I focused on career-wise and financial that led towards, I sold real estate from 25 to 40 and then was able to retire financially free with enough passive income coming in every month to where I got to choose what I do for the rest of my life.
Oh, that is a great story, Tim. That's inspiring. I'm sure, everybody out there, including myself, would love to follow that path, whether it involves real estate or not. Again, let me just delve into that a little bit. When you were talking about doing things in a different way, right? Essentially doing things in a more efficient way hey, I'm going to set this up this way instead of doing it the typical way. So that way I'll have more time for my family, et cetera, et cetera. What did you start with? Did you start with this vision of, I have a vision of being with my family on the weekends. And now I'm going to work backwards to figure out how I'm going to do that. Or did you just say, there's got to be a better way to do this. And then you just started looking at different ways to do it.
Yeah. Well, I think what happened is, and I touched on this before, is I went to this conference and started, I was in a mastermind group with some other top agents from around the country or up and coming agents who were focused on the same things I was. And we all kind of modeled each other. It was like somebody was in Virginia and somebody was in Texas and somebody was in Arizona, let's say, and we get on calls every week and go over what's working for you and what are you doing to get more business and what are you doing to become more efficient and how are you hiring and who are you hiring and what are they doing for you? So I don't think it was as much as at that time, candidly, I didn't have a long-term goal. I know it was important to me to be with my family on the weekends and stuff, but at that time I really didn't lay out I want to retire at 40 as an example. I knew I was focused on, in my words, getting somewhere, but I didn't have it defined of what that means. And one thing I want to make sure is coming across in this call, two things. One, I worked my butt off for everything I've gotten. And two, this didn't happen overnight. I believe in get rich slow.
yeah, absolutely. Yep. I haven't found it yet. If there is a way, and I what I keep hearing from the people who are successful is, it did not come overnight. Sometimes it looks like it does because you only become aware of someone once they've become successful. But guess what? They've been working 10 or 20, 30 years to get there. So, Tim, so you've had a lot of success in your life and now you're doing all these amazing things. So maybe you can, can you give our listeners a few tips that you've learned along the way? I know you have a couple of programs, the business of life, financial ABCs. Enlighten us a little bit.
Yeah. So there's a book called The E-Myth, and it's about working on your business, not in your business. Some of you listening to this podcast are going, oh yeah, I've read the E-Myth. Well, think of the E-Myth for your life. The book, The E-Myth, was all about your business. I'm talking about the business of your life. And have you ever thought of that concept of running your life like a business? And that's where those financial ABCs come in. And if you remember earlier in my story, I said I concentrated on these ABCs. A is what income is coming in every month from all sources. B is what's it cost me to live, including vacations, taxes, everything. What does it cost to run my life? And C is what's left over. And unfortunately, for too many, that what's left over has to go to debt reduction. And if that's the case, then put it towards debt reduction, towards to when you're at a place to where you can start investing. And that's one thing we did really wise is I never had much debt. I've never had a big want for fancy cars, boats, RVs, all the crap that Madison Avenue tells you need to make a wonderful life. I never wanted the material things. So we didn't have a lot going out every month. So it made it very easy as my income increased. When I was a grocery clerk, it cost me 20 grand to live and I was making 30 grand. In real estate, I started making 60, 110, 180, 300, 350, and my expenses went up from 20 to 25 to 30 to 50. So I'm making 360 a year and I'm spending 50 a year and I'm investing that 310 into single family homes, duplexes, fourplexes, land in the path of growth. I'm exchanging to properties listed or rented to Enterprise Rent-A-Car, AutoZone. I'm making all these moves that set it up to where like from 40 to 50, I was a ski bum. If you ask me what I do at 45 years old, I said I ski.
Awesome. Awesome. So sounds like the key here is as you start to increase your income, well, maybe there's a few different things we could touch on here, but let's jump to that part where our listeners are, you know, have found their thing that's bringing in that extra income is to then not succumb to popular culture's, whims of what you need to do with that income, buy a fancy sports car, a bigger house, and all that kind of stuff. Instead, you should take that extra income, maybe up level your life a bit, but then be investing the majority of that. Is that right?
That's right.
So take us a little bit through the ABCs then. So this is something that I work on with my wife, you know, just getting clear for us. It's all about clarity versus vagueness around our finances. So getting clear about what you were talking about, right? So what's coming in, what's going out, and what's left over. Can you drill down into that? Like, let's say there's some listeners out there that aren't clear about those things.
Well, for one thing, this, you brought up a really good point, Norman, and that's going over it with your wife. And everybody on here, if you have a spouse, you got to make sure you're on the same team. I've got a lot of friends in One Life and GoBundance in the communities I live in, and the families struggle mightily over one of them plays defense better. And defense to me is spending and knows what's coming in. And one of the spouses may be, wants all the trappings and all the stuff out there and keeping up with the Joneses. And it'd be really good if you're listening to this to go over with your spouse what's coming in right now, what's going out, what are we doing with it? How are we getting somewhere? You know, Norman, I told you I didn't have a long-term plan at that time, and I was just being honest about it. Now I'm really into planning. That's what One Life's all about. But the one thing I knew is I wanted to provide for financial security for my family. And if you think about it, you guys, that's one of our jobs, you know, in life is to get to our golden years and A, not have to work anymore, and B, not have to depend on anybody else but yourself. And I have a saying. I'm gray hair. I'm 57 years old. I tell young people I meet that are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, you are either going to hug yourself or curse yourself when you reach 55, 60 years old for the financial and fitness choices you make in your younger years. You're either going to hug yourself or curse yourself for the financial and fitness choices you make in your earlier years.
Oh yeah, that's a good reminder, Tim. And I would say I'm not in my 20s and 30s anymore. I'm starting to see that that age group that you're talking about coming down the line here for me. So like even for me. But what would be the one thing, one or two things that you would advise me and our listeners to do today to get to that point where we'll be able to hug ourselves in a few years?
Well, let's just talk finances, okay? And fitness, I'm just going to, eat right, exercise, do yoga, be mindful, just work on your breathing and just spend as much time away from what you have to do day in and day out and step outside of your life and work on your life, not in your life. That's from a health perspective. From a financial perspective, the first thing is awareness. You should stop today after you're done with this podcast and do an audit. Where am I financially? What's coming in? What's going out? What's left to invest? What's my net worth? What's my passive income? And passive income is income where you don't work for it. And in One Life and GoBundance, we're all about what we call horizontal income. Horizontal income is a lot of paychecks coming in. Everybody wants a vertical income, a bigger paycheck. There's a guy in GoBundance, his name's David Osborne. He's one of the founders with me, wrote a wonderful book called Wealth Can't Wait. He has over 200 paychecks coming in every month. I have over 30 paychecks. And this is what on a mastery level, this is what this looks like. So step one is do an audit of where you are, what's coming in. Do you know what's going out every month? Where's your leakage on what's going out? Where are you wasting money that you could get rid of right now that would lead to more money coming in to where you can start to invest? And let me give you an example of somebody might be saying, well, I don't have $100,000 to buy a house. I'm going over to Reno, Nevada right after we get off this call, and I'm loaning a guy $12,000 at 15% interest with a $1,000 loan fee because he's starting a new business. And by the way, I'm getting a note against the car. He's giving me his pink slip. So who do you know that, and he's got a high credit score. He's a high quality individual. So there's a little $12,000 note. Couldn't you do that? And when that guy pays me the 15% interest every month, that's passive income. That's putting your money to work for you. And I like little singles and doubles and then you start hitting home runs and grand slams. But that's what you start with right there.
Love it. Well, I'm sure we could dive way into this, and I want to dive in just a little bit more, and then I want to hear more about One Life Fully Lived. Let's say you're breaking even. Let's say the me, or I'm kind of doing this for my own benefit here too, because I want to learn too. I feel like I've got a good handle on my finances now. I know what's going in, going out. But we're about even. We're breaking about even. I'm ready to start generating some more passive income, some multiple streams of income. But I'm curious, what would you do if you were me and you're just kind of breaking even and you start looking for that multiple streams of income or start looking for even small things to invest in? What's step one?
Step one is I would look at when's the last time you looked at what you're spending every month, Norman?
I do look at that pretty regularly. So okay. Yeah, but as far as like what I could cut back, I'd be happy to, do a little audit on that.
And that's something you should get with your wife and take a look at that. Where's our leakage? Okay. Cause what people don't realize is the effect of compound interest and how much, like if you just put a little more to work for you every month and be mindful of what's coming in, mindful of what's going out. Learn all you can about investing. Read books like Richest Man in Babylon, Millionaire Next Door, Think and Grow Rich. Just classics that and my buddy's book Wealth Can't Wait is by David Osborne. Incredible book on all of this. So that's one thing. And Norman, I would challenge you to look for income streams that are related to what you do right now. What are you doing where you might be able to put in a little side hustle? Or maybe it's something brand new that has nothing to do with what you're doing and build that up. It's kind of like that other ball we were juggling. So for me, selling real estate, a natural was taking back notes, was finding other rentals. And whatever you're doing, there's probably something you could do as a side business or just start something on the side that has nothing to do with what you're doing. That's what I'd look for is what can I do that I'm not doing today that could bring in extra income?
Yeah, definitely. Again, we could go way down the road with this. I can sense that you have, you could teach a master class on all this. But just to, in the time that we have here, make sure and cover everything that you've got going. Now, it seems like the main focus for you, you tell me if this is correct, is your One Life Fully Lived organization. So tell me a little bit about that and about your roadmap where you talk about dream it, plan it, live it.
Yeah, Norman. So about 6 years ago, I looked up and I'm getting the goods. I'm skiing 100 days a year. My life is great. And I thought, you selfish guy, and I'll leave it at that. you're getting your goods. You're living your one life fully lived. And you see all these people out there struggling, having a tough time. And you have all these master friends who can help you. So what I did is I got a lot of my GoBundance friends. And we had our first conference in Portola, California, and a good buddy of mine, Chris Lockhead, who's all about living a legendary life, came and blew everybody away. And so we had our first conference in Portola, California, 6 years ago. And now we have two conferences a year, one in Philly, one in Sacramento. And we also have a Facebook community that's all about helping people master their lives. And if you like what you're hearing here, go to onelifefullylived.org, go to our My One Life Roadmap course, and you're going to master life's basics, stuff you should have been taught in school, like who am I at my core? What's my dream for my life? What's my written plan of how I'm going to get there? How am I going to fund this wonderful life? And how am I going to be healthy in my mind, body, and soul to help me do the things that I want to do that make up my own version of One Life Fully Lived. So we have a conference coming up October 21st and 22nd in Sacramento, California. I'm about 85% sure right now. A gentleman who rocked our Philly conference named Jeff Hoffman. He's one of the founders of Priceline.com. He also invented the airport kiosk. He's a billionaire. And he's just one of like 40 world-class presenters from all walks of life, all levels of mastery, who not only come to this conference and present, they hang out with us the whole weekend. And all of us are just working on our own games, being the best Norman Bell we can possibly be, and then bringing our friends and families with us. We even have stuff for kids. We have One Life Next Gen, where we start to teach the youngsters how to figure out who am I, what's my dream, what's my plan. So it's an amazing conference full of wonderful people who just care about their lives, their families' lives, their communities' lives, and humanity. And by the way, there's no political affiliation. We don't belong to any certain religion. It's all, we're spiritual, but it's just different people from all walks of life getting after it. And it's an amazing thing.
Jeez, I'm getting pumped up just listening to you, Tim. This sounds awesome. I'm going to check my own schedule here and see if I might be able to come down there. And Hell Yes Life listeners, God, this sounds right up our alley. So definitely want to check that out. Let me ask you a little bit about this program. Now, you have a pretty bold mission here. You want to affect the lives of 10 million people. Is that right?
Yeah, our mission is over the next 10 years, we want to inspire 10 million people to live their best lives. We want to have a mega effect on our apathetic culture. Let's face it, most are simply just, a little lost on what their one life fully lived is. And what we've been able to do is we have young people in their 20s. I can think of no less than 10 right now that are financially free before 30. They have multiple streams coming in. There's a 17-year-old and a 12-year-old. My friend Len Giancola, check out Success Beach. They have over 10 income streams. They're wealthier than the average 40-year-old, and she's 12.
Financially free at 12.
I don't want to say that wrong. She's got a bunch of income streams coming in. We have okay. Kids in their 20s and 30s who are financially free. I don't want to say that wrong.
Fair enough. But it sounds like that one is well on their way soon enough to being financially free. That's very impressive. Tim, as we want, let me ask this. I always, you know, you're doing a lot of amazing things already. You're already living your Hell Yes life, your one life fully lived. But I always like to ask, looking forward, and you already have it here, right? So you already have your kind of your big vision of affecting 10 million people. But is there any other details you'd like to provide about your vision? I call this your cringeworthy vision, a vision that's so big that it makes you cringe just to think about sharing it with other people. Now, you sound like you're pretty practiced at sharing your vision, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get you to cringe here. But you have any other big visions looking forward?
It's not a cringeworthy. It's an ear-to-ear grin-worthy.
Nice.
So Norman, I'm 90 years old, okay? And I'm sitting in what I call the portrait. And you know what I'm talking about. It's that picture with my wife, Tina, and I, and our three kids, and their kids, and their kids, and their kids. And we're somewhere on vacation in a beautiful island, and we're in what I call the portrait. And the beauty of this vision, Norman, is think of all the things I have to do right. I have to keep my relationship with my wife. We both have to be healthy enough to be 90 years old and able to travel. I have to be financially fit enough to get us all there. And all of my kids and grandkids and their kids all have to love each other and want to be together. And if we get all of that right, I get to be in the portrait, Norman.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Just really thinking about that, you know, we're all going to have that end of our lives. How do we want that to look? Right. So it's either going to look like Tim just said right there, or it could look a little different if we don't do some planning beforehand. So that's great to think about. What action would you recommend anyone listening to this, you know, like everything you've said, you've provided a ton of value to me and to my listeners today. But it can feel a little overwhelming sometimes to get all this information. What one small action could someone take after listening to this interview?
I would say I've thrown out a lot of different stuff in a lot of different areas. Pick one or two things and take action on those. That's my best advice. I don't know which piece resonated with you most, but if you took some notes, there was probably five or six things. The biggest thing, you guys, is master your ABCs. There's nothing more that will have a huge effect on your life than knowing and being focused on what's coming in, what's going out, what's left to invest. That's number one.
Yeah. I really want to support that idea. That's something that in recent years has come up for me, is that I'm not going to debt anymore. I'm not going to put things on the credit card. I'm going to be more financially aware of what's coming in, what's going out. And how can I just honestly build my finances without having to go to that credit card? So I really support what you're saying there. So tell us, Tim, where on the internet can we find you?
Sure. First of all, if anybody wants to reach out to me personally, you're welcome to send me an email at tim@timrode.com. Road is R-H-O-D-E. That's tim@timrode.com. Love to hear from you. Please send me a personal email. You can reach us at onelifefullylived.org. If you're at a mastery level of everything I'm talking about here, check out gobundance.com. That's for people that are at a higher level. Please join our One Life community on Facebook. That's the number one Life community on Facebook. And check out our conference October 21st and 22nd in Sacramento. There's a code that Norman will give you. It's the number One Life SAC7, and that gets you a special discount to our conference.
Okay. And we'll include all that in the show notes on the episode page for this, Tim. So if you were just listening to that, then go to the episode page to, you know, get that code if you want to go to the conference and access everything else that Tim just said there. So, well, Tim, thanks so much. Wonderful. You know, like I said, you provide a lot of value for our audience. I always like to round things out by saying hell yes on the count of three with my guests. Are you ready to do that?
Oh, big time.
Okay, let's do it. One, two, three. Hell yes. All right, Tim. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, it's been my sincere pleasure, Norman. Thanks for having me on. I hope Hell Yes audience, go make it a Hell Yes day.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a Hell Yes life.